Voices by Steve Hussey. I've just done a spoken word piece for the Murray Slim Press writer Jeffrey P. Fry. So here's another one from me. Jeff's in prison for robbing 7 banks. It's not easy getting writing from him, let alone anything verbal. We keep in touch through Corlink's email service, and it's Jeff's link to a lot of his folks on the outside looking in. I think our written voices help keep him sane. And from his point of view, at least some people are listening to him. The experience of doing the spoken word for Jeff was strange. My own voice just didn't suit the style of the poem, so I put another one on. It was, essentially, the impersonation of Tom Waits I've been doing for years. My actual voice is an Englishman with a mild country accent. It's measured and comes with a very slight alcoholic lisp. You learn to control your voice when you drink a lot. I can fool friends, family, and whoever else when I set my mind to it. And I always set my mind to it. My attitude is also measured. I avoid anyone I consider a gossip. I'm bored by normality and I'm engrossed by failure. And I'm certainly not ashamed of my own failures. My writing isn't sexy because I don't want it to be. It's the closest I can get to the voice in my head. I'm simply fascinated by the strangest people I know, and they're often my closest friends. I live on the arse end of England, near to Great Yarmouth. It's thought of as being backwards, cheap, and sleazy. Our claim to fame is that we have the highest teenage pregnancy rates in the United Kingdom. There's a lot of fucking going on in a small town, and a lot of fucking going on in small places. My day job is as a teacher, and I started when I was 21 years old. As a new teacher, you're given the worst class as a rite of passage. So I had to teach GCSE media studies to late teenage psychopaths who had all failed their exams at school. I had 7 students in my class, and one, called Kirsty, was already pregnant. Kirsty was helping us win the Teenage Pregnancy Olympics. She'd often run out of class and then sob in the corridor. She said it was nothing I'd said or done, it was just hormones. After each of Kirsty's escape runs, one of my male students and the other female students would charge out and comfort her. So, for a lot of the time, I was teaching 4 kids. One of those 4, John Joe, was 6'5", muscular, 19 years old and particularly crazy. I'm not a small guy, but I'd still look at this hulking mass of insanity as he entered the room and think, shit. John Joe had been held back at high school for a couple of years. I didn't ask why. I just hoped they'd give me a bulletproof vest. John Joe's voice did suit him. It was gravelly and deep, and it held the threat of violence. But luckily, John Joe said exclusively nice stuff to me.
You're right, Steve.
Yeah, John Joe. Yeah, I'm not bad. Good. It pours.
Good.
Yeah, my voice held a little tremor, but John Joe didn't seem to pick up on it. Well, maybe. Back then, I had to set up all of my film clips on videotapes. The night before, I'd queue up the right time to start the clips, then carry in a bunch of videotapes in a plastic bag. During one of the lessons, I had to leave the classroom because I needed a piss. I was gone for 3 or 4 minutes. When I came back, I gave the lesson spiel for a while and then popped in the next videotape to illustrate what I was talking about. On the screen, a 10-inch cock flickered into life just as it came into a gaping female asshole. Off-white glob sank into a large black cave. John Joe laughed, and the other 3 kids laughed along too. He'd swapped my tape with one of his own. I froze briefly, then ejected the tape and looked at it. I later learned John Joe was a pioneer of streaming porn online. Now, what do you do then? Control your voice. So I took a gulp and said, his cock's smaller than mine. And then I smiled. I've taught hundreds of students since John Joe, and my voice, despite its lack of growling sex appeal, has served me well. It deadpans its way through life and keeps expectations nice and low. You expect this voice to say, come, well, it does now and then. And people don't laugh when it does.
I remember listening to Bukowski's voice for the first time. I'd expected a fierce masculinity, but what I got was almost camp. It was a San Fran accent with a touch of nervousness. Was this Bukowski's real voice? And why was it so different from his writing? But the more I listened to it, the more real it sounded. It spoke of the moments in his writing where he's unsure. The bluster of Bukowski kicking Linda Lee in the Bukowski tapes was there, but mixed with Buck's desperation as he waits for Cupcakes to visit him later in the same documentary. The written voice is the closest to your interior voice. I'm convinced of it. I have time to think and structure ideas. I think every writer can create a voice better in the written word than the verbal. It's a time for yourself, quiet from the noise around you. If there was more quietness everywhere, then you would hear the true voice of many more people. But for this piece for Mr. Gilderoy, you'll have to make do with this one.